Hello and welcome to episode 224 of the IABC International Podcast. My name's Dan Gold, and on this episode, the City of Edmonton's Andrea Soler and Matthew Greshuk from Sticks and Stones join us to speak about how City Hall engaged with the citizens of Canada's oil patch on the hot-button topic of the environment.
The livelihood and identity of many of our residents is intertwined with the oil and gas industry, but what we were aiming to show was that there's a way to transition and that people are transitioning away from fossil fuels.
IABC members benefit from so many opportunities throughout the organization. One of them is to contribute to Catalyst by writing influential articles that members and visitors to the IABC website from across the world will benefit from. Check out the article from the author of The Four Highly Effective Stages of Crisis Management, Janie Jordan. Her article is titled People Before Profit, Promoting Products and Services During COVID-19, and it's featured in the latest section on the homepage of iabc.com. And now for our feature interview. Today is a very special day. We are meeting with more IABC Gold Quill Award winners. I'm very excited to welcome Andrea Soler and Matthew Greshuk to the IABC International Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
Winning an IABC Gold Quill Award is a special occasion for many, many people, but it must be even more special when it's as a result of hard work from a series of productions that have already been award-winning. So, Andrea, maybe we could start with you. What was the Gold Quill Award for, and who was it for?
The Gold Quill Award was for our renewable series. We produced it at the City of Edmonton with a Stick and Stones, and it was for the communication skills division.
Why did the City of Edmonton decide to do productions in this format?
This renewable series is part of a larger program called Change for Climate, which aims to get Edmontonians to take action on climate change and talk about climate change. And we were looking for a tool that would help us tell the good news stories of what was happening in Edmonton that people might not know about and that needed to be told. So we looked for a format that could tell the story in a way that show its innovation, its human element, and that it was engaging. And video was the perfect format for that.
On the format that you decided for this, what evaluation did you go through to decide, yes, video is the way we'd like to do this? Was it some form of engagement survey, or was it, let's try this and see if it sticks?
Well, it's more the let's try this and see if it sticks. It started as a pilot. We knew through surveys that when we asked Edmontonians if they were concerned about climate change, we were surprised to find out that actually 73% of Edmontonians were concerned about climate change and wanted to take action. But when we asked them if they thought other people were concerned as well, that number dropped to 39. So we realized that we needed to work in social norms and that definitely people were concerned, but they didn't know that other people were concerned. So we started thinking about how do we raise awareness about all this good work, all that good work being done in Edmonton by many people at many different layers. And we agreed that video could be the format. So we started with a pilot of seven videos, and it was extremely well received. We totally went over our targets, and we got funding for the next season. And for the IIBC award, we applied with two seasons, but we're actually finalizing the third and final season now. We were just very happy to see the response, the engagement, and that it was working really well. So we continued until now.
This is an interesting project from the point of view of, and this is for people who are outside of Canada, effectively, you are the Texas of the North, where the economy is so driven by the resource sector, oil and gas, etc., and there's significant level of employment as a result of that sector. Was there ever a risk of alienating people through this campaign?
Yes, you bring a very good point, and that is exactly our biggest challenge, and is that is the livelihood and identity of many of our residents is intertwined with the oil and gas industry. But what we were aiming to show was that there's a way to transition and that people are transitioning away from fossil fuels. So our stories told the stories of renewable energy projects, of people who have transferred the skills, and they're going through training programs that help them change careers. So that is exactly what we were aiming to, is offer an opportunity. Just tell the story of there's a way to keep working in the energy sector, just not in the fossil fuel.
And from a creative perspective, we tried to walk a fine line and approach this in a way that, you know, understood and accepted the fact that a number of people work in the resource sector and drive, you know, derive their livelihood from that. So we were very kind of cognizant of that and wanted to make sure that we were developing something that wasn't just for the converted, for people that had recognized and were taking active measures. We wanted to create something that had a much broader kind of reach and appeal.
So on that, Matthew, when it comes to the creative, how do you ensure that you don't become too, in the eyes of some, too preachy, but you have that reasoned balance?
It's difficult to boil it down to a specific formula or science, but in practice, what it was a lot of discussion back and forth. We understood that we needed to walk a fine line and we would, produce the edits and conceive of the episodes and conduct the interviews with that in mind. But there was a lot of back and forth between ourselves and the city of Edmonton, on some of the finer points. And over the 3 years, I don't know if we necessarily have, a perfect roadmap to say, you know, this is how you exactly do it. I think it really just comes down to really open communication between, you know, ourselves and the city of Edmonton. From a creative perspective, we didn't take any of that feedback personally. And then from the city of Edmonton, they saw that we were always trying to keep sight of the fact that we needed to make sure that this was something that, that appealed to a wide range. And working with those two different priorities, we found common ground and middle ground in the final products.
And talking of the final products and the impact, Andrea, how do you look at measuring that?
Yeah, so when we started the project, we more or less measured what we were expecting based on past experiences. So we were thinking that if we could reach, let's say 20,000 views per video, we would be over happy about it. And so we produced the videos, we released them organically, and then we boost them. We did put advertising money against them. And we measured all the views, all the interactions, the likes, the shares, the comments. And we also measured the change on social norms. Mind you, this was not the only tool we were using. We're using various tools in the Change for Climate program. But when we went back to look at the results, and we did along the way, Matthew and his team at Stick and Stones help us monitor and measure, we realized the videos were doing very well. So while we were aiming to 20,000 views per video, we were having, in average, 280,000 views over the 2 years. Like, the people continued watching the videos afterwards. So we kept track on all the numbers the best we could for various reasons. That would give us feedback of how well we were doing, but also it helped us justify funding for the next program. Mind you, not all the engagements, shares, comments were positive. As you mentioned, this is an oil and gas industry, and some people felt threatened and uncomfortable with our stories, but they also contributed to the conversation, and we respected that. We tried to answer and clarify, but also many times we noticed that other people were answering and responding and having a conversation, which was one of our measures. So we went out with three objectives. One, to raise awareness about the work being done in Edmonton in the renewable energy sector and people taking action on climate change. And then our second objective was to get people talking about climate change and the solutions. And the third one, which is a larger goal, was to strengthen our social norms. And we saw a reduction in the gap between the number of people that didn't really... So when we asked people if they believe other people were as concerned as them, that gap was huge compared to their own personal view, and we reduced that gap throughout the 2 years. So we kept close eye on the numbers.
When you look at the project and the impact, you've got a lot of measurable factors that are in there. What do you think are the lessons that you learned from Series 1 that you applied to Season 2? And from 2 to 3 to improve it in some way?
I would let Matthew answer from the creative aspect, but in terms of the project, our biggest learning was around the potential of letting people tell their own stories. These were local stories. So we learned that from a municipality perspective, when we tell someone, go and do this, it's like telling a child, go and do this. Right away, they say no. However, if it's some of their peers, their colleagues, possibly their neighbor who is doing this innovative project and is saying, look, I dedicated my life to install renewable energy, and this is what I've done, and this is what I've achieved, and invite you to try it at home, it has a very different response, a very positive response. So we learned about the opportunity to keep looking for those stories and for telling the stories of Edmontonians and sharing them with Edmontonians and beyond.
And speaking from the creative side of the process, I think, from season to season, we learned a number of different lessons from episode length was something that we kind of paid closer attention to. I think in series 2 and series 3, where series 1 we had a wider spectrum of episode lengths. We also looked about the interview participants and definitely looked at having a wider representation. And I think in our seasons 2 and 3 we had a much more even split between male and female. We had, I think, a really good balance between industry leaders to community organizers. And we tried to find the stories that I think people might expect from a series like this. And then I think we found some great stories that they weren't expecting and other ways that people were taking action. Maybe not on as big of a scale as some of the others, but I think still important in terms of addressing climate change and the actions that people can do.
Andrea, is there a takeaway that you've had from this experience when it relates to other forms of communication that you're involved in?
What the renewable series brought to the mix of the various tools and what it has really resonated very nicely is that local element and really the quality of the storytelling that Stick and Stones achieved, because it was a very genuine process. I was present at some of the interviews, and there were hours. It was not an efficient process in any way. They sat with the subject matter and they really built a relationship with them and draw a story out of them. And they draw a story which was relatable to our target audience, to the other Edmontonians we wanted to talk about, and that really drove close to where we wanted to be, which is telling people that they can also take action, that they could get inspired by this. So what the Renewables series achieved for us is help us inspire people to take action and make people feel proud. Like, we got often messages from the audience saying, wow, I can't believe this is happening in Edmonton. It's actually happening in my neighborhood. Like, they were really excited about it. And there were projects which were there for a long time. They just haven't been seen. And we also took opportunity on leveraging the momentum of what was happening. So we started opening up from just renewable stories to telling stories about single plastic use and the youth movement. And as our society is pushing for change, we were trying to be fast in this process to tell those stories that were taking place locally and really nationally. But our goal was to drive the message locally.
And I think, you know, video it can be a very powerful platform, and it has a number of strengths, but it has a number of limitations as well. And I think we really focused on creating a story arc. And when we've talked about the videos, we've always kind of described them as mini documentaries. And as such, we followed a very kind of similar structure in how we constructed the final content. And we would, pour through interviews that were an hour or 2 hours long to create something that was, 5 to 9 minutes long. And I think that has certain strengths and it has its purpose, but I've seen a lot of the other work that's been done by the City of Edmonton and the Change for Climate program, and those other mediums have, different strengths and different weaknesses, and they might be able to go into more of that detail. And so whenever we're working in video, we always kind of caution against trying to say too much. You have to be a lot more considered about exactly what you want to say and what your audience is kind of prepared to invest, because we are asking for people's time. We're asking for 5-10 minutes out of someone's busy day to listen to this message. So we need to make sure that it's something that in many ways also is entertaining, not just informative.
When it comes to the target audience for the content, it's very easy to say, hey, we're going to aim this at community X or geographical location Y. How do you position the tonality, the language that you use to ensure that you capture the demographic that you like, whether it's a younger audience or an older audience, or trying to be as inclusive as possible?
Well, I can speak to this. I think from our perspective, even from how we executed the media buy, it was very much considering our audience. And when we were interviewing somebody from that's from industry, we understand that they're likely to resonate more strongly with others within that industry or associated industries. And again, it's tough. The creative process is a mix between art and science. And so what we tried to do is effectively just put ourselves in the position of the peers or other people that would look up to the people that we were interviewing. So like I said, for industry, it might change some small details about how we would approach it. Maybe it's a little bit more methodical about the process, and maybe we go into more detail about the technology behind it. Whereas if we're covering the youth movement, it's about building the inspiration and the community behind a movement like that, which is very different, and at the same time trying to keep it all together into one kind of cohesive series. And so that's where a lot of the branding, the look, the feel, the filming style, the color grading, all of that kind of came into play to help not make these feel like completely different islands, but different pieces of this larger kind of mosaic.
You've mentioned the youth movement and the activation in our younger communities. Was there ever a risk of aligning yourselves with the walkout side of it and being seen to be supportive of people skipping class on a Friday by messaging that can be targeted to them or aligned with them?
So from a municipality perspective, we had to be very careful with our messaging. You're absolutely right, because we don't want to in any moment encourage youth to skip class. But this was a movement that was beyond our risk aversion. It's something that's happening. And all we were doing was telling the story of what was happening. We were not encouraging more people to skip school, just telling the story of why were that youth expressing themselves in such a way and what were they hoping to achieve. So basically, the way we manage messaging and risk also, we're just telling the story of something that is already happening. We're capturing that.
Do you think that there is a lesson for other organizations to look at this as you've got your core campaign, but you're telling stories of third parties. You're telling those narratives. Do you think that other organizations could learn that aligning third-party stories with yours, effectively becoming the owned media outlet of these stories, can strengthen your own campaign?
Absolutely. I would encourage other municipalities to do it. I am sure there is a ton of wonderful, good stories that are helping us be a better society, which are not being told, that could be told and that could inspire other people to also lead their own good projects. So I absolutely think that there's potential there. We could continue doing this series on and on and on. We just didn't want to exhaust our target audience, but we have continued telling stories in other ways. For example, our Change for Climate program has a blog, changeforclimate.ca, and in there we invite Edmontonians, or really anybody that wants to share their story of how they are taking action and why they are taking action to reduce our impact on climate change, will be featured. So our goal is to tell almost like the humans of New York, but the humans of climate change, the stories of people taking action. And it's not just for Edmonton. I think any municipality could apply something similar. And it would be great if it was about climate change. That way we could all work together.
Andrea and Matthew, thank you so much for joining me here on the IABC International Podcast. I will provide a link to the campaign website. Congratulations on winning this Gold Quill Award.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to everyone who has been kind enough to share this podcast with friends and colleagues. Our continued growth is thanks to you. Music is from Joachim Karud, and this is an IABC production.